If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Known for doing research on the science of food and why we eat, Dr. Rachel Herz, psychologist and cognitive neuroscientist, recognized for her research on the psychology of smell, and she is the author of Why You Eat What You Eat. Dr. Herz, first question that most of us have for somebody like you, can you do anything about a sweet tooth? Why do some of us crave sweets and others, Mrs. Surratt for one, really can do without dessert?
Well, that's an excellent question, and unfortunately, the deeper answer is not fully known, so I can't just tell you, oh, well, this is the reason, and don't worry about it and go away. There does seem to be a genetic component, and it also has to do with how much we eat various things. So the more sweet foods we eat, the more sweet foods we tend to crave, versus the more savory foods we eat, the more savory foods we tend to crave. And a lot of what we eat actually is about habit. So when we're used to something, we want to eat more of it. And in fact, we crave what we eat a lot of, more than things that we only occasionally eat.
You wrote in your book, and this is very interesting, that it was found that eating sweets and being sweet were highly correlated. Explain
yes.
That.
Well, what happens when anybody, whether you have a sweet tooth or not, has something sweet, is that it actually automatically activates areas of our brain where reward and pleasure and feeling good are processed. So you instantly feel, at least temporarily, good when you taste something sweet. And this is right there, right on the tongue. You don't have to swallow. You don't have to have it like the, you know, metabolism or anything to happen. It's pretty instantaneous. And feeling good because of tasting something sweet can transfer to being more agreeable in daily life. And there have been various studies that have shown that just by tasting something sweet, we briefly become nicer, more cordial, and so on. And so if, I always recommend, if you're going to be having a difficult meeting with somebody, you know, or a board meeting or a group or something like that, bring in some sweet baked goods, because people will be happier.
That's a good idea. And the reduction in sour taste, they say, after you do something physical like exercise, is connected to how our saliva is affected by what we do. Do I have that right?
Yes. So what, interestingly, I mean, our saliva has various enzymes for helping us break down the components of what we're consuming, and both as a function of physiological activity and also, again, interestingly, as a function of what we eat, the enzymes in our saliva changes. So one of the interesting corollaries to this is that people who eat a lot of sour foods, actually their enzymes in their saliva change so that they don't detect the sour so strongly, and therefore they can consume more sour foods, which are often quite good for us, so fruits and so on. And this may also explain somewhat of why kids can really tolerate eating a lot of sour foods, is because they eat, you know, those Warhead candies mm-hmm. so much, so that they can become kind of able to tolerate them a lot more than their parents, who are going, oh my God, how can you even put this in your mouth?
Some of us are enjoying breakfast more than others, and it may be because some people are what you call super tasters. What do you mean by super taster?
Okay, so that actually doesn't have to do anything with eating breakfast. That actually has to do with the number of taste buds on your tongue. And people who are super tasters have the most. People who are what are known as medium tasters are, you know, Goldilocks in the middle. And people who are non-tasters have the fewest. And what this means is, if you are a super taster, everything that you eat tastes more intense. You are able to detect all the basic tastes, salt, sour, sweet, and bitter, and so on, more intensely. Your perception of fattiness, so the creaminess of ice cream and so on, is more extreme. And like, if you're eating hot peppers, they taste more intense to you as well. And actually, people who are super tasters tend to eat somewhat less than people who are non-tasters, because they don't need as much stimulation to get, you know, the bang for their buck.
That's interesting. And I mentioned earlier that you talk about the first taste of something always tasting better than the last taste. And that's why we're in trouble on Thanksgiving, because you have such a variety of foods and everything tastes great. So there's scientific research that backs this up?
Yeah, so actually, the great question, but let me just unpack it for a second. So the first taste of something always tastes better because of the fact that it's, you know, our taste buds haven't become habituated to it, and so the first taste is more intense that way. But what happens on Thanksgiving or the all-you-can-eat buffet is that we have this enormous variety, and when we see more food, we want more food, and because things taste ever so slightly different or quite a bit different, we don't get fatigued on just like eating the same mashed potatoes, mashed potatoes, mashed potatoes. It's, oh, mashed potatoes, now I have the green beans, now I have some turkey, now there's some cranberry. And so each aspect of that from a sensory perspective is always really boosted, and we can just hop between them and, you know, circulate among them and not get fatigued until our stomach feels like we're about to explode.
I know you have gone into the new research about salt. What do you make of this? Because now I'm reading that salt may not be quite the villain it has been made out to be.
Yeah, so if I can just say one thing, you know, with respect to nutritional advice, is to just, everyone should just take a bit of a step back and think about what your grandmother told you, or think about, you know, what's common sense, and that basically moderation is the key. Moderation and variation. So you can eat anything you want, just not too much, mm-hmm. and you really shouldn't just stick to one kind of a food. Like, just eating kale and grapefruit and fish every day is not going to be, you know, extremely healthy for you. But what's going on with salt is that, again, it's sort of the Goldilocks effect. So the lowest level of salt that was originally recommended is what everyone should have and no more than, it actually doesn't seem to be the case. It's not, and people should not be, you know, pouring salt shakers over their food every day, but having a moderate amount of salt is correlated with the best health as compared to, you know, too high or too low. And what those specific numbers are is a little bit of a moving target, but, you know, basically don't oversalt your food, but it's okay to use salt.
Dr. Rachel Herz, PhD, and the book is fascinating, Why You Eat What You Eat. And I will be thinking about you today at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Dr. Herz. Thank you for the time this morning.
So thank you so much for having me.